Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 1st, 2013. Saints, the world is in turmoil, and most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, I'll also give you my cell phone number, which is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. And those phones, it's always better to call me in the afternoon. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. But folks, you folks are out there listening on satellite radio or maybe listening by telephone, you don't have to go to the blog for questions or whatever. You can just go ahead and call me. Okay. Anyway, now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. And so please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, okay, I'm really unsure how an advertisement for a book called The End of America, The Role of Islam in the End Times and a Biblical Warning to Flee America ended up in my email box. In fact, I think I saw it there more than once. Well, with most end-time books, when they catch my eye, I look for the website, and I email the author and ask them if they want to consider it for radio, well, to submit a book. That lets me see if they're serious or not. Anyway, besides, I like to add them to my collection. Anyway, I did so with John Price, the author of this book, and he agreed real readily. And then I felt an urgency to ask him if he had any videos on it. Well, he sent me a website, and after viewing the website and looking at the video, I just couldn't wait for the book to get here in the mail, so I bought a Kindle copy of it and started reading it last night. And immediately, of course, I made room for him to be on this program tonight. Tonight, we'll begin to discover what the Bible says about America. For you hardcore Bible students who want to prove all things, I challenge you to go to his website and download the study guide. I think the study guide will simply amaze you because of the proof that it offers. Well, let's welcome John now. Are you there with me, John?
Yes, Pastor Dan, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. And better now that we've got a connection with you. First I want to say, before we go into this book, you know, I stumbled across your other book that you wrote in 1979, and it's called America at the Crossroads. The person who did the review on the book called the book prophetic and said that what you wrote is coming true right now as we speak. What about that book? Is it coming true? What's that about?
Well, you bring up a very, very interesting point. Back in 76, I was led to write a book called America at the Crossroads, in which I looked at the history of revival in America and how God had healed our country in the past. And then I said, why don't we have a revival now? Let's fulfill 2 Chronicles 7:14 and humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, because he promised that he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. And, of course, we know in the last 30-some years since then that, unfortunately, that call for revival, as well as a lot of other people who called for revival that was not heeded. So now we have a country in which I don't have to even begin to list the problems that we have, but we certainly could have been healed, but we weren't healed, and now we have a lot of problems. So back in 2007, I started writing what I would consider a follow-up book 30 years later called The End of America, and I know we're going to be discussing that tonight. But basically what it does is to look at the verses in the Bible that describe a rich, powerful, influential, end times country that faces a very difficult destruction because of what it does to betray Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me pipe in for a minute. Now, one thing that I wanted to say, I'm going to address an radio audience. A lot of you folks out there, you know that on this program that we've had several guests that have went into and said that America is Mystery Babylon. Now, when I first came out of the world, folks, I believed that there had to be a large place for America in the Bible. It sure looks like this fits the bill. This is not new information to me, but the reason that John's book is so special and John's study guide is so special is because the proof that it brings with it. And so that so please make sure you go to this website. That website is endofamericabook.com, endofamericabook.com. There you can find the study guide. That's a great study guide, John.
The study guide, Pastor, came about because we live now in Central America, and we started a small group Bible study down here, and we decided the best thing we should study is what does the Bible say about America. So the study guide is based upon several months of actual Bible studies in which we looked at the 30 clues that are in Scripture in the 223 verses, both Old and New Testament, that talk about the daughter of Babylon. And then we looked at each one. And we said, okay, let's take an example. The hammer of the whole earth. Which other nation in the world today would describe the hammer of the whole earth except for America? And the reason I bring that one up first is that back in the 70s when I wrote America at the Crossroads, I started researching a subject and I put the file away because at that time there were two hammers of the whole earth, the Soviet Union and the United States of America. Mm-hmm. But now today, I think anybody would agree, since we have a military budget that's 40% higher than in any other nation in the world, in which we have 800 military bases around the world, and no other nation really has military bases around the world, and we all know that it's going to invade or use drones or use bombs or use its military, we are the hammer of the whole earth. There's no other competition for it. And that's just one of the 30 clues that God gives us to Mystery Babylon.
Absolutely.
By the way, on the subject of the phrase Mystery Babylon that's in Scripture, I was doing some editing today, and it occurred to me that the reason why God describes it as a mystery is he has shielded those clues in such a way that you really have to dig to find out what the answer is. Because anybody that's ever been to a mystery movie or read a mystery book or likes to be involved in mysteries, we all know that nobody wants to spoil it before the end. You like to know towards the end what the answer is. And here we are getting closer to the end, and God has kind of peeled the layers away like an onion and said, look at those 30 clues. And tell me what other nation they could apply to except for America.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did say those end time things were what he told Daniel, that those were sealed and things were sealed until the time of the end.
Right.
But before we really get completely into the identification of Mystery Babylon, which we've kind of let that cat out of the bag, of course, the big thing, your book's in a couple of parts. And I wanted to address the first part of the book, kind of like, you go. And most people miss, you know, I mean, Bible students nowadays seem to just completely miss the role of the Muslims in Bible prophecy. And I just bang my head on the wall and I go, how can you not see that? So why don't we take that in and take us into that?
There are two books that I would highly recommend to your listeners that get into this much deeper than I did. I spent a couple of chapters on it, but Joel Richardson, which is a pseudonym written, he used that name because he didn't want to be assassinated, wrote two books called The Coming Muslim Antichrist and another one called The Mideast Beast. And in both of these books, he looks at what does the Quran say, what do the Islamic writings say about the end times. And I was surprised when I started researching this subject to find out that the Muslims have, I'm not going to call them prophecies because I use that word for God's prophecies, but predictions. They have predictions included in their writings.
Okay.
And they basically say that there will come someday a world leader, a political military world leader, and they call him the Mahdi. But when you compare all the things that are written about him to what the Bible says about the Antichrist, it's very clear that there's an overlap. They describe him as the Mahdi who will return and allow Allah to conquer the world. The Bible describes him as the Antichrist who will come and try to do that, but then Jesus returns and it doesn't happen. So there's an amazing parallel, it goosebumps when you read it, between what the Bible says will happen in the end and what the various Islamic writings say. And the reason I say that, I've been a Christian since the 70s. And during most of that period of time, up until fairly recently, I always thought that the Antichrist was going to be from Europe, that he would be kind of a Hitler Mussolini kind of guy, and that he would come in and throw his weight around and try to take over. But the more I've studied it, the more I realized that what the Bible is describing, which we didn't see but now we're beginning to see, is a Muslim effort to conquer the world. There's nobody in Europe today that's goose-stepping and walking up and down the street saying, let's take over the world like Hitler did. But there are lots of people in the streets of the world, particularly in the Middle East, who are saying, death to America, death to Israel, we must conquer the world for Allah. And so it's becoming increasingly obvious that the jihadists, the Muslims, have a great desire to conquer the world for Allah. And, you know, let's look around. There are over 20,000 separate incidents that have occurred in the last 40 years in which Muslims have tried to, and have successfully in many cases, kill people in their attempt to conquer the world for Allah. That it was large for the people who were involved, 3,000 people who died. But here we are living in a time that the Bible foretold, in which they said in the end days, there will, and Jesus said this, he said there will be people who will kill you claiming that they're doing a faith. Now when I used to read those verses that Jesus wrote, I thought, how could that be? Well, I see it today because the Islamic jihadists, Wahhabist, the fundamentalists, really believe that. When they blow up Jews, when they kill Christians, which they're doing every day in the world, they think they're doing a favor for their God, the moon god, Allah. So anybody who's paying attention to biblical prophecy and Muslim prophecies have to realize that we are living in those days.
Yeah, absolutely. There's quite a parallel with it. And first off, let me address Joel Richardson. For the record, Joel Richardson's been on my program many times. He first came on with Walid Shubat when they first wrote the book God's War on Terror. And in fact, he was on just a couple of weeks. He's working on a film right now. Hopefully it's out at the end of the year. That'll show these things, the events happening around the world, and compare them with Bible prophecy. So,
terrific.
Yeah, amen. And of course, folks, I recommend both these books, but I really, and back to your book for a moment, Well, I read Joel's books, and I've almost read all your book for a little bit of time that I had last night. The thing that I like about this book, folks, is, well, he's saying that he only, you know, went into a couple of chapters in it. What he has laid out in those chapters is very simplistic for that you can understand it. And, you know, it really will get to the point with you. It really will. So really, I got to commend you on what you did put in it because, you know, you just used a couple of chapters, I think about three, and you really put it across.
Well, I appreciate your saying that. Let me tell you why I think it must be working. For the last year, the book, The End of America, has outsold the Quran on Amazon every week.
Really?
And, of course, that's another good reason for me to not be living in the U.S. But and I think the reason for that is that people want to know what Islam has to say about the subject of prophecy and about the future of mankind and about what they intend to do to us. And the first part of the book, The Role of Islam in the End Times, kind of opens the door to that, which is why so many people have bought it on Amazon. Also, on Kindle, you bought it on Kindle, and if you remember, you paid 99 cents for it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The reason why I priced it at such a low price is I want a lot of people, you know, I prayed about that because, let's face it, we're all creatures related to money, and when I was thinking about it, well, this might be a good book that a lot of people have read, and so I asked the Lord, what do you want me to price it at? And he reminded me of the story of the pastor that got on the bus, and the bus driver gave him 25 cents too much in his change, and he sat down and he thought, well, it's just a quarter. But then he got ready to leave the bus, and he handed the quarter back to the bus driver, and he said, oh, you overchanged me. And the bus driver said, I know that. I gave that quarter on purpose because I know you're the new pastor in town, and I just wanted to know if you really believe what you say. And I'll be at your church on Sunday. And he came to church and he got saved. And the pastor said, oh, my Lord, for 25 cents, I almost lost the soul. So I thought, okay, all right, 99 cents. That's the right price for the book. And as a result of that, there have been a lot of people go on Kindle and buy it and read it. And what I pray is that people will buy, read, and heed, because I know we're going to discuss in this hour the rest of what the scriptures say about the daughter of Babylon and how you're supposed to flee from it. But in the beginning part, you're right. It discusses Islam, and the main reason for that is destruction, and somebody has to destroy it. And it's not going to be France. They don't even have an army that can do anything. And it's not going to be Chile. But there are people in the world who every day go into the streets and say death to America. And those are, by the way, the same people that if we say something in America that seems like it's, how should I put it? How do they put it? They say it's bigoted. It's Islamic bigotry. Well, that's not true at all. If somebody wants to kill you, it's not bigotry to say, well, I don't want you to kill me.
Absolutely. For the folks, I have here in front of me these A, B, C, D, E, F things about it, and I thought I wanted to throw a couple of these out there. You made a comparison. Anyway, folks, you made a comparison in the book between the Mahdi and the Antichrist. I'm going to just read you a couple of those. NB says, both will lead the world to worship themselves in a universal world religion. Those who don't worship the new world religious leader, they will be decapitated. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but you know that we right now on the Mexican border, you know, they have been decapitating people for a number of years now. And we have found that Islamists are actually, the Hamas are working with the drug cartels. And so this decapitation thing is prominent and right out there. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, that's a very good point. When I used to study this 30 years ago and I read about decapitation, I thought, well, maybe they'll go into the French National Museum and take the old guillotines out that they used to use and bring them out. But now that I see what's really happening and that the Muslims are the threat at the end of time, and by the way, that they decapitate people who have committed adultery and people, they cut off the arms and hands of people who've stolen, and they cut off the heads of Jewish journalists, I don't have any problem with a knife. You could face a knife. And the way their preferred method of killing people is to cut their heads off. And, of course, that goes way back into history to the time of the Muhammad.
Yeah.
But that's the way they do it. They do it today. You can go on YouTube, unless they've taken them down, and find videos of people who are having their heads cut off in stadiums where Muslims come and watch. Because of various alleged crimes.
Absolutely.
Here we are.
Let me throw this out there. A friend of mine, and he's probably going to call you Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club. We were talking about decapitation in the end times, and Stan was talking about, well, you know, that people would have to lay down and get their heads chopped off with a big sword for Yeshua. And I said, well, Stan, if you really looked at those videos, which I don't like to look at the videos, but I did look at one of them. It's a gruesome process, folks. They're not just chopping your head off with a guillotine, and they're not using a big sword. They just take a knife and kind of walk around your head and cut your head and twist it off. It's a really gruesome process to fall into the hands of these barbarians. And yet we were being killed by politically correct people. Trying to say, oh, don't talk about him. Back to you.
Well, you know, it's one thing to be foolish and say, I don't think I really have an enemy out there. The world is at peace and everything's fine and no nuclear devices have gone off, et cetera. But here's the basic problem.
Wait a minute. We're coming up on the break. Just a second. Sorry to interrupt. We're coming up on the break.
Oh, no problem.
I just looked at the clock. We got about 30 seconds, and so we'll come back and talk to you more with this. But, folks, on the break time, if you're on the Internet, go to endofamericabook.com. That's endofamericabook.com. And check it out and look at the video. And like he says, you don't have to buy the book. But you can buy the book, meaning the Kindle copy, for 99 cents. And believe me, I believe that you'll be shocked by it. Also, you can go on there and you can see the study guide, which if the book doesn't convince you, I'm sure the study guide will. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887. Or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org to order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Now, I know most people will say, well, aren't the homeless poor, Pastor Dan? Well, of course the homeless are poor, but we're talking about people that are just trying to keep a roof over their head. They come to us looking for food, first aid, Bibles, the gospel, you name it, clothing. They come to us, and one of the biggest things that they come to us is they see many people receiving miracles of faith. You know, Yeshua said so many times when he healed people, he says, by your faith you're healed, and indicated it was the strong belief that the person had that allowed him to be able to heal them, so to speak. Well, so these people, when they come to the mission and they ask for a prayer, they really believe and know that it'll work. And so we see many people through prayers of faith get instantly healed, get out of the street, get reunited with family, get jobs, all kinds of things. But anyway, we still need your physical help to stay open because we minister to the poorest of the poor. Those people can't help us stay open, but we need your donations as you always have. For the last 14 years, this is now we're in our 14th year, to keep us open. And it's August. Now we're hoping that we can get Mercy, the woman's overflow shelter, open up this month. We have many people waiting to get in. And you know what really amazes me is you know, I look at my podcast archive downloads, and on that I can tell, you know, whenever you folks in China – listen to me. Well, I get a little map, Google map thing, and it tells me what city you're in. It's the same way in America. I have a Google map. I see, you know, how many people are listening in Dallas or downloading in Dallas. Well, Wichita started off slowly, but you know, Wichita really has a lot of people listening. And so it just amazes me how some of the lowest support that I get is from a place that listens so much to radio. But anyway, just pray about it, folks. So if you're in Wichita, pray about stopping by and stopping in and see what we do and, you know, see if you're led to help. Anyway, folks, this summer's really been tough, and we came close to shutting the doors for lack of just basic needs. So lift us in prayer. Help if you can. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love is the first answer, and then they're treated as family. That's the second. And beyond that, we really have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and act. And then if we can fill that need, we fill it. If not, we pray it in. This is just why the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We're the very last hope for so many. And, folks, we are responsible to care for one for another. We are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com, or you can simply call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back with John Price. That is, if he's still there. Are you still there with us, John?
I am. I've been admiring your website.
Oh, really? Well, amen.
The lion with the crown of thorns and the menorah above it is terrific.
Yeah, amen. I really like that. You know, he's going to come back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so, you know, I hope that expression, you know, shows that. And I'm anxiously, you know, one thing while we on this program, it's a prophecy program, and we talk about, you know, all the bad things coming. You know, it's like birth pains, of course. At the end of it all, something wonderful happens, and that's
true. Well, that's true. And he even said that if he didn't come back, no flesh would be saved. So it's a really good thing. When he returns, for those of us and for those of them who are here on the earth and looking up when he returns, they're going to be really glad to see him.
Yeah, amen.
Because the Muslims, I've tried this on a few people, and they look at me like, are you sure? And that is that the Muslims believe that Jesus is coming back. And I stop right there, and they go, what? I say, yeah. They teach in their predictions that he's coming back, and he's going to attack and kill all the people who said they were Christians because they were wrong. And they go, what? I said, yes, that's what they teach. They believe in Jesus as a prophet, and they think he'll come back along with the Mahdi and then attack Christians. I mean, you've got to really be kind of disturbed in your thinking to think that that's possible, but that's what they actually teach.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when he returns, he will, of course, put all of the Muslim militaristic desire to kill off people who don't become Muslims to a stop, and then, of course, everything will change. But there's one link between what we talked about at the beginning of the program and what we're talking about now, and that is that the name of the book is The End of America, and how does America end? Why is America off the stage, as Dr. Lester Sumrall said one time, why is it off the stage before the tribulation, before the Antichrist, before the Mahdi? How does the hammer of the whole earth disappear? And Scripture tells us. And when I first read this, it just blew me away because I thought, how could this be? But then I began to study it and I understand how it can be. Genesis 12:3, go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Genesis 12:3 says, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. And what happens that causes the downfall of the daughter of Babylon is kind of simple, but it's very tragic. And that is that there will come a point in time when Israel will once again fall for a peace agreement. It will be at peace, as Ezekiel says. Every man will be dwelling securely in his own home under his fig tree. And then all of a sudden, according to Ezekiel 38:39, Gog and Magog, Russia, Libya, a bunch of Muslim nations that at the time that he wrote about them weren't Muslim, of course, because there was no Islamic religion. But he described nations that became Muslim. They will invade, a land invasion of Israel from the north, according to Joel. And when they do, there'll be a lot of bloodshed. And they'll cry out to their treaty partner, the daughter of Babylon, and say, come, help us. And we won't come and help them. And how do we know that? Because there are scriptures that say, we looked for you to come. We watched for you to come and help us, and you never came. And then there are five or six different verses that say, because of the blood that was shed in Israel, because of the daughter of Babylon refusing to keep its word to Israel, and cursing Israel, the entire nation will be destroyed in one day, 1 hour, and one moment. Now, there's no way you can destroy a city, let alone a nation, in one day, 1 hour, one moment, except for nuclear devices.
Absolutely.
So is that possible? Is that barely possible? Well, of course it is, because the Muslims have accumulated some nuclear weapons. They hope to accumulate more, particularly if Pakistan falls, because they have approximately 90 nuclear weapons. There are a lot of nuclear weapons that were suitcase nukes in the Soviet Union that are no longer available. People don't know where they went. Of course, we know what's happening in Iran as they're developing nuclear weapons, and Korea has them for sale. So it's not like it's impossible to acquire 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 nuclear devices and take them into the U.S. and then on a coordinated basis explode them all at the same time. God won't allow that until or unless we fulfill the prophetic utterances that if we curse Israel, we're going to be cursed. And
right.
It's very sad. You mentioned a moment ago you don't like to talk about negative things all the time, but we do have to look at the fact that these are prophetic verses that tell us what's going to happen. Okay, so here's the positive part. God loves Christians and Jews so much that he has 10 different times in Scripture said, get out, flee, run, don't stay there, don't participate in her sins. And I live in Central America now. The primary reason we're here is because of that. There are a lot of American Christians here that are here for the same reason, because we believe Scripture, and when God says flee, get out, run, we believe it. Think about that. How many times in Scripture does God say something 10 times? But still, I've talked to people who say, well, you know, I read that, but I'm waiting for the rapture. And I like to say to them, well, you may be waiting a long time, because the tribulation, the rapture, the Antichrist, all those things, all those end times events, the final end times events are going to happen. But they're going to happen after the hammer of the whole earth is off the world stage.
Okay, let's go with this. And by the way, I didn't mean we didn't want to talk about the bad things, just that we do seem to be that way. But anyway, because tonight that's what we're going to talk about, is the bad thing. But let's back up. Now, I want to ask you something. A lot of people, we have people that listen to our program. Some of them are pre-trib rapture, some of them are rapture people. I mean, post-trib, some of them are pre-wrath, which I think you are. But the people that I want to address, and this isn't even putting the timing of pre-trib or not, even if it was pre-trib, why do you say that it will happen? How can we prove to these people, that's what I'm trying to say, how can we prove to these people out there that believe in pre-trib rapture that they'll still be there when America falls? Now, you pointed it out in the book. Do you remember?
Right, I do. I had a pastor that I was talking about this subject with a few years ago, and he said, but John, we're all going to be gone in the rapture. And I said, I want you to prove that to me. So we had a long discussion, and here's the reason why I think it's pretty clear in Scripture that the events we're talking about, the destruction of the daughter of Babylon, happened before the rapture. And here's how you come to a good scriptural analysis. The Scriptures tell us that Israel, believe it or not, Israel enters into two peace treaties. There's the one that precedes Ezekiel. How do we know that? Because when Ezekiel tells us that the invasion happens across the northern land that Joel talks about, that it will happen when Israel peace, dwelling safely in their own home. Okay? Then the invasion comes, they're stopped, it takes 7 years to bury the dead. There are a lot of things to indicate that what happens when God stops that invasion in Ezekiel is not Armageddon, because it's in a different location, it has different participants in the battle, and has a different outcome. Because Armageddon is the entire world coming against Israel in Jerusalem, not in the northern plains. And the final result is Christ returns. But the Ezekiel invasion, which is the first peace treaty, leads to a lot of bloodshed and leads to the destruction of the daughter of Babylon. But Christ doesn't return at that point, and not all the nations of the world are involved. Fast forward. After that happens, the great Muslim hero will present himself on the stage, wherever he comes from, the Mahdi, and he will say to Israel, look, you guys went through a lot of trouble there. Let's have a new peace treaty, and they fall for the same thing again. It's like peanuts. Hold that football one more time. This time I won't pull it out of your way. And Charlie Brown falls for it again. He falls down on his face. And that's what Israel will do. They'll say, well, you know, the last peace treaty, actually the last many peace treaties didn't work out well. God tells us in his word not to lean on man, but every time we have, we've failed. But let's try it one more time because, you know, we're dealing now with the Mahdi, and he's a pretty powerful guy. And so let's sign another peace treaty. That begins the seven-year tribulation in the middle of which it all falls apart. The last 3.5 years are horrible, the worst times that mankind's experienced, and then Christ returns. Okay, so what I've tried to, and by the way, the rapture happens, depending on your viewpoint, either at the beginning, the middle, or the end, or before, a little before the end of the tribulation. So when you think about that timing, you got two different peace agreements. The first one ends with an invasion of Israel, the destruction of the daughter of Babylon, etc. But at that point in time, there's no rapture. There's no Antichrist. There are a lot of things that happen, but those don't happen until a little bit later, at which point the Antichrist makes the second peace agreement, starts the 7 years, at the end of which Christ returns. So, the rapture is unimportant. Let me phrase that in the right way, because I don't want people to misunderstand. It's an important event, but it's unimportant in regard to what we're talking about in this program, because the destruction of the daughter of Babylon happens prior to the rapture. So for people who are sitting in their homes in Michigan or Iowa or Kansas or wherever tonight thinking, I'm not worried about any of this because I'm going to be raptured out, think again.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the deal. Folks, if I'm right and, you know, and it's post-tribulation or whatever, then, well, let's back up. If you're right, well, then all is well and good. But what if you're not right? I mean, there's too much room for error there. And no man knows the day or the hour. Are you willing to put your family's life at risk? And that goes back with the fleeing of Babylon. You know, the big deal I think that people would ask is, what about the timing? Do I have time to wait? Should I leave right now? Do you have anything to say about the timing?
I'm really glad you asked that, because this is probably the best week that we could have ever picked to discuss timing. And why do I say that? Because this week Israel, for the first time in 5 years, sat down at a table with some authorities from the Muslim group, Palestinian Authority, and said, we will seriously negotiate a peace agreement, and we're going to get it done within the next 9 months. And before they even started that, last week they released 104 Muslim terrorists from their jails as a sign of, quote, good faith, unquote, to show that they were willing to sit down and discuss peace. And Prime Minister Netanyahu literally said last week that Israel is willing to give up 83% of the West Bank as part of a peace agreement. So why is that important? I have a relative of mine that's worked with me on the book through the years who said, well, he's a son. He said, hey, Dad, he said, I'm not going to be too worried about any of this until I see Israel sign the first peace agreement, and then I'm going to start packing my bags. And I think that's a very good point. Ezekiel doesn't tell us how many months or years Israel is at peace before they're invaded. Let's say that January 1st, I'm just picking a date. This is not prophetic, but let's say January 1st of next year, Israel signs the peace agreement. January 2nd, they're not going to be invaded, because Ezekiel says that they'll be dwelling in peace. So it'll be a few days, months, years, who knows? He doesn't tell us how long. But there's a period of time that once Israel signs the peace agreement, that they will be invaded. And here's the danger for a person that's paying attention. Once they're invaded, they cry out to America, to the daughter of Babylon, to come to their to do it. And there's a lot of bloodshed in Israel, and God has to intervene and stop the invasion. But he also intervenes in human history and wipes out, that's the only phrase I can think of that works, wipes out the daughter of Babylon for its betrayal. The Bible calls it treachery of Israel, treachery against Israel. So, if I'm sitting in Florence, Kansas, or Wichita, and I'm trying to decide, what am I going to do? I would pay a lot of attention to what Israel does in these next few months. They said it'll be within 9 months to enter into a peace agreement. And if they do sign one in this period of time, and they may not. They've talked about this in the past, and they never did it. But there are lots of signs that this is now the time. Let's say they sign a peace agreement. I'd be given some real serious thought to getting rid of the homestead, taking a week or two off and jumping on a plane and going to look at Chile, Belize, Uruguay, Panama, Costa Rica. There are lots of good, safe places in the world that New Zealand that welcome Americans and would love to have people come and move there. And do some research, look it over. If you decide to go there, by the way, don't buy right away. As soon as you get into the country, rent, and see what things are like for a few months and then consider buying. Look for a really good church. Where we are in Central America, not long after we came here, we connected with others and we've had a new church start up here, and it's fantastic. Okay. The people in the church are active.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Number one, and we only got we got probably about 3 minutes left, but number one, you say you hooked up with other Christians. Have you hooked up with other Christians who really feel the same way or have fled like you have or left?
Yes, the answer to that is yes, decidedly several. And we get several people who've read the book who come through here who want to know more, who say when they leave, we're coming back.
Well, that's pretty fantastic. I do believe that the Father will make a provision if the people look for the provision to go. But let me say this, and I don't know if you heard about this. I mean, we're seeing some people say, well, there's got to be other signs of these things happening. You know, just I think it was within the last week, there was a solar flare that just missed the Earth. And it would have knocked out all our power grid. I mean, it just missed the Earth. That would have took us back to, you know, some ancient times. But have you heard about the comet that's coming later this year?
I've read a few things online. I think that's a possibility, but before it would actually hit and cause widespread destruction to the U.S., I think we have to betray Israel, so I'm thinking for a while.
No, I'm not saying it's just, let me throw this out here. I'm not in disagreement with that at all, and I'm not saying that this comet is going to hit the Earth, but what I am saying that comets are a form of warning, and the reason I believe this comet could be a warning comet, because they say that this comet that arrives sometime late October, November, is going to be brighter than the full moon, and it's going to be seen for a long period of time. And I'm just wondering, I keep getting the feeling that it's kind of a, you know, warning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. God, by the way, tells us in his word that he warns his people ahead of time before he does anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, look, I really appreciate you being on, and I pray that you work out something with my brother Stan and also appear on
the radio. Yes, we've connected, and I'm going to be working out something with him soon.
Okay, very good. And maybe you'll come back and talk with me again sometime. And
sure. That'd be great.
I'm waiting anxiously. I bought the other book that I was telling the folks about, and when I get in the mail, I maybe want to talk to you about that, but I'm going to let you go, brother, and you be blessed, and I'll send you a link to where this is archived at. So you be blessed, and thanks for being on with
us. Thanks, Pastor Dan. God bless.
All right. God bless. Well, folks, the reason I actually, if you notice, I let him out a little bit early. But the reason I let him out a little bit earlier is a couple of things. My producer passed to me something that is just – it will be up at my website after a while. And it's something that Snowden, the whistleblower, said that they're looking for a solar flare that will hit the Earth in the very near future, and it's going to be called the kill shot. I want you to go over to prophecyhour.com, and I want you to look at this thing. But, you know, we just, this article, rather, a week or two ago, I think it was just within the last week, I don't remember the date, I'm bad on dates, but we just missed a solar flare that would have knocked us back to the 1800s. I mean, just missed us. It doesn't take a nuclear weapon to wipe out America and take us back to that time, because we're almost getting it right now. And can you imagine how defenseless America would be if, in fact, our electronics were taken out? Now, you need to think about that. And I'm not trying to scare you, but what I am trying to do for you is I'm trying to get you on your face praying. I want you to get that personal relationship with your Lord and Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, because no matter about running, yeah, I do believe that people should get out of America, but don't go until the Father tells you to go. You have to know when to go, because here's my big thing. I believe that if he wants everybody to leave America, that, yeah, there will be a provision made. That's what I said to this man. John, there'd be a provision made. There has to be a provision, because you think God's just going to leave by the poor behind? You know, there's many poor people that are a lot more righteous than any of the people that have money. Doesn't it say it's so hard for a rich man to get into heaven? It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And, you know, with God, all things are possible, but listen, that is the key to things. The way out is if the poor can make it out, the people that are rich in faith, the people that will inherit the earth, get their protection. That's what it's all about. Because, you know, God's not going to leave them behind. The Father is. Yahweh is not going to leave them behind. He is our Father. He's not going to just leave us to be massacred. Even though he says get out, what do we need to do? Walk through, I know people that are very righteous that can afford to fly their whole families out. So do you think that, well, you don't have the money, so then I guess that means that, you're just going to have to be burnt up. You know, I believe that God the Father will save you just like as he saved Ashak, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But I'm running out of time. And so I got to get out of here. So remember that if there is only one God, and he is the Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is your Father. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Now, remember, folks, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You really need to. Now, I don't agree with this guest on all points, but you should check him out. And for 99 cents, what's it hurt? That's a book. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.